This is a rather large topic and a topic which I think deserves time, deserves a lot of space and thought, because we're about to enter Sefer Vayikra, and let's face it, Sefer Vayikra is usually when we switch off. You know, we've had a lot of Mishkan and we've struggled to get through it. But at the point that we get to Vayikra, it's very hard to keep going. He's talking a lot about Korbanos. There's a lot of things which seems very difficult for us to wrap our heads around. I remember I had a teacher who, one Friday night we were sitting, and it was actually in 10th grade the first time I had the opportunity of meeting him, and we were singing Karibon, and you talk about Lemikdosh Echtuv LeKodesh Kudshim, and we talked about, and everybody's singing, and it's wonderful, and it's returned to the base of Migdash, and he says, "Guys, do you know what you're asking for? Do you realize that what you're asking for is, you know, priests in skirts, running around barefoot, slitting the throats of goats? That's what you're asking for. Now you have to think about it. You have to think about it for a moment. What do we really want? Meaning we say every day, we say three times a day. We say Ritzeini. We say the prayer in which we ask for Hashevas Avodah Lidvir Beisecha, return the Avodah. Now that's not about prayer. The previous paragraph was about prayer. Shema Kolenu, listen to what we have to pray about. Please God. But the next paragraph is, we want real deal service. We want you to help us be able to return the service to Jerusalem. Now just to give you, let's try to make it a little more graphic. The Gemara says, when it came to the Korban Pesach, which we're about to engage in, God willing, the Korban Pesach was a requirement on all of Israel. And people had to get into groups. And the groups were coming, but there were so many group representatives of the Korban Pesach, they'd have to do three shifts of slaughtering. And the Gemara would say that by the end of the process, the Kohanim were ankle deep in blood in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, that's not usually what we think about when we talk about Pesach with our kids, right? We talk about matzah and maror and paro and all kinds of different things. And the most graphic it gets is that Haggadah with the strange pictures, right? We aren't thinking about the Beis HaMikdash and the blood that's flowing through freely on the floor. In the Beis HaMikdash, they used to have little channels in the marble on the floor for the blood to run out. And this is something which, to us, discussing with Alan just last week, is very hard for us to comprehend. So what I'd like to do is start investigating this a little bit through the eyes of our Kadmonim, through the eyes of our sages throughout the generations. But as I was investigating this topic, I realized that it's vaster than a one session. What we're going to do today is we're going to focus on the value of the purpose, and next week we're going to focus on the future. Right, because that's a whole topic in and of itself, what the future is going to be in terms of Karbanos and what will be, in fact, in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, the third Beis HaMikdash. So let's start at the very beginning. We as individuals have a difficult time with Karbanos, first of all, because of our modern sensibilities, something which we're not very used to. Number two is the animal cruelty, which I don't know if is the top of our list of concern, but can you imagine if Peter was in Israel at the time of Mashiach? And finally, purpose. Really, what underlies all of this is trying to understand what the real essential purpose is. If we can understand purpose, that might answer the other two. But those are really the issues that confront us as we start this very difficult topic. So, without much further ado, let's start. The most controversial opinion in regard to Karbanos is the one of the Rambam. Maimonides. The Rambam offers a very interesting opinion, and it's summarized in the Ramban, at the beginning of Parashas Vayikra. And it is very controversial for a number of reasons. Very famous opinion. The Rambam says the following. This is quoted in Source 1. The Ramban is quoting the Rambam, and he says, "V'hinei b'kosav hazeh tam ha-korbanos shehem ishe reach nichoach la'ashem." The Torah tells us, why do we do korbanos? Because it is a good smell, a scent for God. However, v'omar ha-rav b'mori nevuchim, and the Rav says in Mori Nevuchim, this is the Rambam, of course. So the Ramban is quoting the Rambam. The Nachmanides is quoting Maimonides over here, and he says, "Kitam ha-korbanos." What is the reason behind korbanos? Ba'avur, she'amitzrim va'kastim, asher hayu Yisrael garim v'toshavim ba'artzo me'alam. That the Jews were in the lands of these foreign nations, the Egyptians, the Kastim, and va'yu avdim le'bakar u'v'tzon. And their gods, their deities, were in fact sheep. They were cattle. Ki amitzrim avdim letzlev, akastim avdim lashedim, asher yiru lahem bidmus seirim. The Egyptians would serve the young sheep, And the custom would serve demons, which were obviously in the form, and still are today, in the form of goats. And the people of India, till today, still don't sacrifice cattle. By the way, when a cow walks into the street in India, traffic stops, right? Meaning, today it's living and well. They're still practicing this. Ba'avurkein, therefore, because of these practices, which at least some of them, the nation of Israel was exposed to, tzivo lishchot eile hashlosha minim, l'shem hanichbad, kidei sheyivoda ki hadavar sheyuchoshrim kem betachris avera, hu asher yakrivu labore. So what does Hashem do? He says, they serve them, that's their God, kill them. Shech them to God, to our God. So therefore, what's happening over here? In order to make known, and through this process, we will turn sins. Ki kein yisrapu haimunos haraos shehem madve hanefesh. So who is the target audience over here of this process? Who's the beneficiary? Who's the beneficiary of the process of korbanos according to the Rambam over here? Yes? The Israel. You know, this is the process. This is our therapy. How do we get through our exposure to such practices? Is what we do is we therapeutically kill their gods and atone through our sins in the same process, and therefore it is re-educating us to the process of what's really supposed to be. That's what the Rambam says. And then he says, "Ki kol madve v'kol choli lo yisrape ki im bahefcho." You can only this is a famous thing the Rambam says, is you can only fix something by its opposite. In general, the Rambam says this regarding midos. When he talks about in deos, he says, let's say a person has an issue in a particular direction. Let's say a person is too generous, so he's just not able to say no to anybody. So the resolution is to become for a period of time to actively become very close-minded. And then you center, and then you get to the Shvil HaZahav. So the Rambam talks about balance. So in order to be able to heal ourselves from that exposure, we need to go to the opposite end and kill their gods. And the very important words at the end is, Eledvarav Uvohem Herich. The reason why it's easier to quote the Ramban, quoting the Rambam, is because this is a large chapter in Mor Nevuchim. So the Rambam went to town explaining this. Very fascinating. This is what the Rambam says. By the way, let's just put this in the bigger picture. First of all, not only was it that relevant that Israel shechted the Korban Pesach, therefore, right? Meaning at this crucial point where they're about to leave Egypt, that they needed to shecht the Korban Pesach because this was sacrificing their God. I mentioned just last week, the Aruch HaShulchan says that's the reason why we left in the month of Nisan, because in the star sign belt, in the astrological belt, the star sign in the northern hemisphere during the month of Nisan, which we're about to enter, is that of the sheep. So the ram, right? And that was the period where their God had the strongest expression in the world. So what God did was, God waited for that moment in time, and during the time that their God had the strongest expression, then we shechted their God and left. That was part of the whole process. And this fits very well into the Rambam. Also, just so you should be aware, if anybody's keeping track of these things, last week in Brooklyn, They have an incessant problem where in one of the parks in Brooklyn they keep finding severed heads of goats, right? So unfortunately some elements of this are live and well in terms of the custom over here. Shimi,
there was a... No, I just wanted to say I read something recently that the reason why by Mitzrayim was not the sheep, or my people of the sheep, is that the nature of the sheep is that it follows the staff, and so it was the God following the person was controlling the God. And so one of the reasons why we do the Korban Pesach is because the ultimate Avodah Zarah is trying to say that God, we have to fit God into our way of life as opposed to the other way around.
Very, very good. So therefore we're undermining that the ideology of the sheep as well. Very, very fascinating. Very fascinating. And it's relevant to what we're saying now. Why? Because of our exposure to those nations and that culture, specifically Egypt, which is the one actually we're most related to. There we have the Rambam. Very fascinating. The problem is the Rambam presents a lot of problems. There are a lot of problems in this Rambam. Right, anything that comes to mind before we start? Right, the Torah seems to tell us why we have them. The Torah tells us it's because it's a pleasant smell to God. Right, it's whatever that means. Right, whatever Isha Reach Nichoach means. But the Torah seems to say that they have a positive purpose rather than simply a educational or negative purpose. That's number one. Right, there are a lot of issues with this Rambam. The Ramban spends spends a lot of time working on these problems, and he starts off by saying in source 2, the Ramban continues, he says, "Vineihem divrei havai." These are empty words. Now, by the way, the Ramban is most exceptionally respectful of the Rambam, but he very, very vehemently disagrees on this point. Why? It creates tremendous problems. You're telling me that what's going on in the Mizbeach is simply just to circumvent the problems that other people have? Right? That's all it is. It's just negative expression. The Torah tells us that the bread of God, that the smell, the wonderful smell, doesn't work that way. He says, "Vagam lefish to some." Shel Mitzrayim, lo tisrape machalosam bozeh, aval toisif machov. He says, let's say what you're trying to do is you're trying to educate Israel and the world about the, you know, who's the real God. By sacrificing them, you're creating more problems. Why? What's the problem? He says, Yakir ki machsheves aroshoyim haniskorim laavoid melamazel tleu mazel shor shiesh lohem koach bohem kifi machshavosam. They think that this entity and this deity is a very powerful being. And therefore they don't want to eat them. What you're saying? You're saying, I'm going to take your deity and sacrifice it to my deity. So what you're doing is, you are essentially saying that this is worthy of sacrifice. You're not going to take a rat and sacrifice it on the altar. You're taking the God and sacrificing it. This is what you're doing is you're giving credence to what they're doing. What should you do? He says, the Rambam continues, he says, you know what you should do? If this is all a therapeutic, you know, removing the issues, the psychological issues of what is, you know what you should do? Eat them. That's what you should do. Don't give them any special sacrificial service. Eat them. The mitzvah should be, take the goat, take the sheep, take the cow, and eat it. That's what should really be happening. Which is interesting, by the way, because Korban Pesach does have, there seems to be that focus. That's what the Ramban says. He knows you're not achieving the right ends. Then the Ramban goes on. In the next paragraph, he says, "V'hine Noach betzeisom en ateva im shloishes bonov ein ba'olam kasti o mitzri hikriv korban v'yitzev b'enei Hashem." Noach walks out of the teva. There ain't too many human beings around at that point in time. In fact, there are only 8, if you want to count. And he said, oh, even earlier, right, he's going to get to Hevel. So he brings a sacrifice. There aren't any Mitzrayim. Where did the Mitzrayim come from? His grandchild's Mitzrayim, okay? Let's be honest. That's where Mitzrayim comes from. So there's nobody at this point in time. Certifiably, there's nobody else in the world who's doing anything else, and he's sacrificing. God likes it. So it's obviously that there's something else to Karbanos, says the Ramban. Right, it's Vayarach Hashem Mitzrayach Nichoach. And this is the point that God responded to, so to speak, that says, I won't ever flood the world again because of what he did. So there has to be his intrinsic value. As you're saying, Saul, in the second generation, Hevel brought Karbanos. Was there Avodah Zorah in the world at the time of Hevel? When did Avodah Zorah emerge, just by his own interest? At which point in human, anthropologically, when did come in? It was early. So even earlier. The Rambam tells us that Enosh. It was in fact, Enosh was the grandson of Adam HaRishon, who is the son of Shais. So what happened is that third generation was already when it happened, but we're in second generation. Hevel and Cain predate this.
The Nachash, because it was anything, the Nachash represented anything that was connected to Ras and Hashem, and any kind of separation from that, arguably, could fall under the definition of Avodah Zarah.
Interesting. I mean, the snake represents this notion of trying to pull you away from the service of God in a very particular fashion. Avodah Zorah was where you start saying, well, you know, God's got intermediaries, let me give them honor, right? There's a whole process that the Rambam develops as to how Avodah Zorah emerged. So it's true that there is a Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zorah, but the Yetzer Hara of the Nachash was more, I would say, encompassing. It was more of any word of God, whereas Avodah Zorah is a very specific avenue. But it's clear over here that irrespective, there's no real Avodah Zorah at this point in time in the world. Nevertheless, he's doing it. Further, he says, Ubilam, in the next line, the end of the line, Ubilam Omar, Es Sheba'es, Shiva'as HaMizbechoes, Arachti, Vo'al Par, Vo'al Bam HaMizbech, Ve'ein Da'at O'at O'lishlo Mimenu U'minos Ra'os. Bilam, set up 7 sacrifices when he wanted to curse Israel. He was sacrificing to whom? To God, to Hashem. And he, at this point in time, he's not trying to do an education process. He's simply trying to get close to God so he can now elicit God's power in a negative way. And the next line, V'loshon ha-korbonos, es korboni lachmi lishay rach nichachi. And he says, and again, it sounds like the korbonos have some sort of positive element. Okay, let's add, we can add a few other questions to the Rambam. Number one is that you know, just looking at the world division of religions right now, just included, this is a recent Pew study in terms of religions, you can see here that 31.5% are Christians, 23.2% are Muslim, 16.3% is unaffiliated. And when you come to the Jews, you can't see, of course, they're 0.2%. But as you can see, you know, in regards to the people who are perhaps the biggest chunk of that pie is Hindus at 15%, and there's, you know, you might other sections might also have that, but in reality, we are living in a predominantly monotheistic world culture at this point in time, which is an incredible point. Today, predominantly, the world is monotheistic, based on Judaism and its daughter religions, Islam and Christianity. So if that's true, then the question you're going to ask in the Rambam is, so what happens if the reason falls away now? Right? So if there's no longer this really pressing need, we're no longer exposed to such influences, so would there be a need for korbanos within the Rambam's point of view? So that's something which we need to consider. That's something we need to consider. Is the Rambam's reasoning therefore limited to a time in which there is that this is pervasive? That's one question we have to ask ourselves. Now the question is that we say on a daily basis, we say no, as we said beforehand, we ask for the return of this avoda.
There's a point in time where the taiva of Avodah Zarah left us. You know,
right. So it seems that the Anshei Knesset Hagdola, at the time of the beginning of the Second Temple, requested from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to remove that specific Yetzer Hara, and in fact they were acquiesced, their request was listened to. And that's why you don't see people in general who are running after Avodah Zarah in the same way. The challenges of the generations thereafter is more theological, like the Greek philosophy became more of an intellectual problem rather than an issue of running after Avodah Zarah. So that's exactly feeding into this. So what does the Rambam say about that? What would the Rambam say today? That's the question. Moshe, I thought.
What would
Evan?
The Rambam say pre-Beis HaMikdash, Kabbalas by the Avos?
Right, similar kind of question. During the Avos, there was, you know, so the whole world was Ovdei Avodah Zarah. In fact, that's, you know, Avram's introduction to, you know, the famous story that the Chazal present to us is the bashing of the idols in his father's shop.
But Avram was tested with Yitzchak, and it was a human being. Sacrifice.
Good question. You know, I think we need to spend a little bit of time on the Akedah. Akedah is a very, very difficult question to understand. Did God really want it? Or did God not really want it, but he was just testing? You know, what was God really going on over there? Because it sounds like Avraham Avinu thought that God really wanted it, to the point that he was about to do it. But then how does that work into the sensibility of what God's been telling him up till then? Very, very difficult questions. But that's a question in and of itself. This Akedah by itself is very difficult. Let's surge forward at this point in time. Now, the Rambam is very troublesome, but I'd like to, you know, just let's put this onto the table over here. The Rambam is not alone. There's a Midrash. Take a look at this Midrash. This is unbelievable. If you haven't seen this, then this Midrash is radical. The Midrash says the following. In Source 3, Vayikra Rabba Parsha Chof Beis, Rabbi Pinchas b'shem Rabbi Levi Omar. Rabbi Pinchas ben Levi says the following. Moshel ben Melech, Shigas liboy olav, v'ayolomed le'echol, l'basor nevelos atreifos. There's a king who would eat any types of meat that wasn't slaughtered, meat that of animals that had diseases, right? Meaning to say something which was not shechted kalacha. Omar HaMelech, Zeyye Todir El Shulchani Ume Atzmoy Hu Godur. Kach Lefisha Yu Yisrael Luhutim Achar Avodas Kochavim Mitzrayim Voyu Mevien Korbonehem V'Lesi'irim. So what happened was the king says, you know what I'm going to do? In the future, once I've made my new way of life, I've turned over my leaf, what I'm going to do is I'm going to always have those meats on my table and I'm not going to touch them. They're going to be there as a reminder of my past life. So Israel, who were exposed to Egyptians, and that's what they were doing in demon worship, as it says, that the apostle explicitly says in Vayikra that they shouldn't be sacrificing to demons anymore. Ve'ein seirim ela elu ela shedim shenema vayisbuchu l'shedim ve'ein shedim ela seirim shenema v'seirim yirakdu. Okay, Shami, this is a proof that the word seir, the goat, is related to demons. Ve'yum makrivim korbanem b'isur bama uporonios ba'ois alehem. And because of the fact that these nations would sacrifice to these demons, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you makrivim l'fonai b'chol eis korbanoseihem ba'oil ma'ahed. Well, therefore, they have to sacrifice in the tent of meeting. Sounds very much like what the Rambam was saying. Why are we sacrificing? Because that's what they were doing to the demons, so we now therefore sacrifice to God. Like that king who's putting his previous life on the table, you know, he's therapeutically looking at that and seeing what he had moved away from. So before anybody criticizes the Rambam, you need to realize that there is a line in Midrash already before the Rambam, well before the Rambam, which already adopts this. That's number one. But more problematic is the following, is that you can't, it's not fair to the Rambam to only quote the Rambam in Moreh Nevuchim. The Rambam was a prolific writer. The Rambam has a Sefer Yad, Sefer HaMitzvah, Sefer Pirush Mishnayos. He has Tshuvos. And then he has the Moreh Nevuchim. But it would be unfair to the Rambam to say that the sum total of the Rambam's opinion is to be found only in Moreh Nevuchim. Therefore, zooming out, giving a 360, let's take a look at the Rambam in Yad HaChazaka. Now, the Rambam has a general practice, and that is at the end of his sefer, each Sefer, though generally what would happen is he encodes all the halachas therein, and the last halacha or two is where he talks more philosophically about the general purpose of it. So usually if you go to the end of each book, you'll find some sort of more hashkafic aspect of that book. So, in the end of Hilchos Me'ilah, Me'ilah is in the time where a person has a korban, and he uses it for some purpose other than holiness. Right? That's what Me'ilah is. So the Rambam says the following. At the end, we're not going to read this whole paragraph. In source 4, Zeram Ches. When I read the first two lines and jump to the end, he says the following: Royal Adon, this is a general perspective on life, and this is such an important thing. And he says, you got to spend time thinking about Torah and understanding it. It's got to mean something to you. You got to understand why it is. Very important rule. However, he has the proviso. But let's say, in your little logical expression, you don't find a reason. Doesn't make sense to you at this point in time in your life. V'lo yada ba'ila, and you don't know its reasoning. Al yekal be'enov v'lo ya'ros la'lois al Hashem p'ni yifrotz bo. Don't say, you know what, God, if it doesn't make sense to me, it doesn't make sense. Right? Don't be small and think that if you don't get it, it isn't God. V'lo yitahei machshavtoi bo'y kamachshavtoi b'shar divrechol. Don't think it's like any other sciences that you can wrap your head around everything. Bo'y ure'ei kamachmira Torah b'mi'ila. If you're going to take the, you know, inorganic or organic matter, and kevon shenikra shem adon ha'olam aleihem bidvarim bilvad, and what happens is some individual says this is holy. He sanctifies that for the sanctuary, niskachu, and they become holy. And using that inappropriately is considered me'ilah. It's like you've taken away from God. Even incidentally or accidentally. Obviously, that there must be something greater to what God told us, where there is a reason. And I'm just going to jump down now to about six lines from the bottom. He says, three lines from the word of the line, end of the line is word, V'kama Hoya David. He's talking about chukim, the laws which don't make sense. And he says, V'kama Hoya David HaMelech mitztayer min aminim min ha'akum shoya meshivim el ha'chukim. David HaMelech had many people come into his court, from those heretics and those people criticizing Judaism, and they were asking him, what about all these senseless laws, seemingly? And the more they would ask, the more he'd find closeness to Hashem through it. The more they ask, the more I'm connected to your Torah. V'nemar shom, b'inyan kol mitzvosecha imuna, sheker udvuni azaruni, and of course another pasuk in Tehillim. And then he adds, v'kol ha-korbonos kulam michlal ha-chukim heim. All korbonos are part of this unknown part of the Torah. Omru chachomim, shebishvil avoidas ha-korbonos, ha-olam ame. Because of the sacrifices, the world stands. Sheba'asiyas ha-chukim v'amishpatim zoichim ha-yosharim l'chaye ha-olam haba. Through the korbonos, we enter the world to come. And they have a precedence even over the logical laws. So wait a second, yeah, you know, this is the same author. Here you have the Rambam over here. Just a moment ago, in Mor HaNevuchim, he was saying that there's a whole process and a logical idea that you're trying to re-educate yourself about the exposure that you had to other cultures, and over here you say, don't even think that you understand it. This is one of his examples of something which is of the depth of entering into the world to come. Same author. Now, I've heard people say, and whether joking or not, that the Rambam is talking to Nevuchim in Mor HaNevuchim. Nevuchim is the guard for the perplexed. And when relating to the perplexed, that's what he says. When relating to intrinsically what he thinks, he says this. Now, that's a little difficult to say, and I'll tell you why. Because anybody who's read the introduction to the Mor HaNevuchim will see who the perplexed people he's talking about are. It's not Judaism 101. Mor HaNevuchim is for the person who's Mala Kresa Ba'avayas Da'avayas Varova. That's the person who's spent a lot of time, that means to say, Shas, right? And a person who's learned all of the Torah and has reached a philosophical high point, and now he wants to work out how the two systems work together. The Rambam says, I'll explain it to you because I've done such a thing. That's what the Mor HaNevuchim is. So it's not, the Mor HaNevuchim is not talking to foolish people, it's talking to extremely educated people. So it's not, you know, I would hesitate to say that there's a, it depends on the audience over here. However, there's obviously, we have to synthesize this. What does the Rambam really understand over here? So there's a number of explanations. Many people dedicate years and time to try to understand this Rambam. One such ideology is that of Rav Meir Simcha Dvinsk, the Misha Chochma. He was one of the greatest minds of the time, just a century ago, living in Dvinsk, also the same time as the Rogachova. Two luminaries. He wrote a pirush on the Rambam called Or Samech, but his work on the Torah was called the Mishneh Chachma. Unbelievable. And if you're able to penetrate into the depth of them, it's remarkable. Everything it synthesizes. He says something really remarkable. Really remarkable. And that is the following. I'm going to read the first line, then we're going to discuss it outside. I just wanted to read it for a particular reason. He says, this is his first words in his introduction to the book of Vayikra. Hakadmonim nechlechu b'tama karbonos. Very simply, people disagreed as to the reason of Korban. Samore, Omar, the More, referring to the Rambam, the guide says, "Ki hu laharchik leva odem avodazara." It's to distance people from service of deities. Ramban v'siato amru ki hu lekarev kol hakoychos olamos. And the Ramban says it's in order to bring the different parts of the world together. Vuhu inyan. What's the next word? Electri. Ruchani. Right. It's a spiritual electricity. It's unbelievable because you see, he is now starting. He's living at the time where electricity is becoming more well known, and that's his marshal for what the metaphysics of what's going on over here is. So he says, "Inyan elektri ruchani." It's a spiritual electricity. Asher bepulas hakohen asa gvohas balamos shanim kiyadua. It's going to affect the metaphysical world. That's what he brings these two, and he says, "How do you synthesize that?" I mean, these are two completely different things. So he makes a very, very fascinating suggestion. And that is that it depends what korbanos you're talking about. When it comes to the korbanos which are sacrificed on a bama is a backyard altar. When a person didn't have to go to a special sanctuary, they would just simply in the backyard sacrifice on their personal altar. And that was, by the way, allowed for a number of different periods during the early Jewish history. Those were, in fact, what the Rambam was saying. That that's what the people used to do at the time. They would just sacrifice to whoever they wanted, to whatever deity they wanted, and they served all these things. So in order to counteract that, we had the service of korbanos through bamos. However, when it came to the korbanos which were sacrificed specifically in the Mishkan, or specifically in the Mikdash, in such an instance, that wasn't about negative education. That was actually intrinsically because for the word of the korban itself, the word korban means karev, to come close. Where would you come close? In the way that God says, I'll tell you how to come close. So there were two tracks, and the Rambam, therefore, is referring to both of them in different places. In the Mor HaNevuchim is referring to the korbanos which are accepted on the backyard altars, the personal korbanos. When it came to the national korbanos, so the ones that went through the Beis HaMikdash, that really has its own intrinsic purpose, like the Rambam says in Hilchos Me'ilah. He, in fact, takes us one step further, and he says the following. He says, from the last four lines, he says, I'm going to give you I'm going to give you a source for this, and this is revolutionary, by the way. Nobody said this before. This is his own logic, and he finds it in the Mishnah. He says the following: Lahadis number Resh Perak Paras Chatas. He quotes a Mishnah in Zvachim. He says, "Ein Reach Nichoach Babama Ketana." The Mishnah says, "There's no Reach Nichoach by a Bama Ketana, by a personal altar." Hare, dekod she bama einam l'reach nichoach. What do you see? That the bama itself, a personal altar, doesn't have reach nichoach, doesn't have positive purpose. Uvozeyu van ha'dama Rav Nosson, the famous Gemara Rabbi Nosson in Nedarim says, ha'noider ki'ilu bana bama. A person who makes a neder is like he built what? An altar, but what type of altar? A personal altar. Right, and he says, why? Skipping the parentheses. Ha'inu shebama he'ligdor atzma me'avod azara. What's the purpose of a neder? When a person takes on a neder, is because they need to set a geder, they need to set something up in their life to protect them from something else. So a noider, a person who makes a neder, is like building a bama, not a mizbeach. A bama, because it was only because of an educational purpose. Unbelievable, just the brilliance of what he has. And he goes on and he brings Arias, and he goes on to bring proofs and applications. Really unbelievable point that the Mishnah Chachma brings over here. So if you just speak to the Rambam as a whole, holistically, the Rambam is actually referring to different parts. The Rambam is referring to different elements. And what was that? Oh, it's a very good question. Good question. Why the Rambam doesn't divide up himself? That's a very, very good question. Because the Rambam obviously knew this. You know, so the question is why did he make it more complicated for us? Not clear. That's a very good question.
Intertextuality. He's using the word lidor, which goes back to that.
Yes. Very good. Very good. So the Medrash in Vayikra is talking about making a geder, which is hanoida kilobala bama. One extra thing that the Mishnah Chochma does point out, and this is very relevant, is that there was what happened was if you follow the Mishnah in Zohar at the end, right there, Kufyud Beis, Kufyud Gimel, there's a history. Bombers were allowed, not allowed, allowed, not allowed. There were different periods where the bombers were allowed and not allowed. But when the Beis Hamikdash was made, what was the halacha? Never again. Which means to say that therefore the reasoning of the Rambam about Korbanos being for this educational process ended. And he says, and that's linked to the fact that Avodah Zarah was removed. He says, that's linked to the fact that the Yetzer of Avodah Zarah was removed. So what remains in the Rambam's mind is only the specific intrinsic value. That's what the Mishnah Chachma would argue. Very, very fascinating. There was a thought? Yes, Hashim.
Yeah, maybe you could say that the Rambam is operating on two different levels. That in terms of, like, are we Doresh Tam Kra for Mitzvahs? Maybe the Rambam, through the Yad HaTzavta, is saying that the Tam for every Mitzvah is just Ratzon Hashem. Don't worry about the Tam.
Good, okay.
And then in Mor Nevuchim, he might be saying, as a Chesed from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem tries to help us understand the
yes,
reasons.
Yes, so very good.
Not doing all 630.
Very good. I think what you're saying is very true, and that comes back to what Alan was saying just a moment ago, is that the Rambam spends a lot of time in Mor Nevuchim trying to give us some sense of logic, some sense of being able to come to terms with it. So ultimately, it may be beyond us, but he wants us to be able to have something. When it comes to that, just I want to come back to a comment actually exactly on that point of Rav Kook. Rav Kook says in Erpalei Tohar the following. He says in source 9, they listen to the way he describes it. La Rambam, nitzchias ha-Torah nu'utza b'mamad ha'olam b'eis matan Torah. The infinity of the world is ingrained at the time of the giving of the Torah. Sha moment shel chidush ha'avaya hu oiver b'chol ha'zmanim ha'shoit v'nuvoyim. And like this is the place through which everything else ebbs. V'yosoid pirtzom zeh lo yekabel shinui. And that moment never changes. That's like the Big Bang. It's where all expansion illuminates from. Kein lo tekabel shinui ha-Torah. There's no such thing as change. Ha-korbonos hoyu oz tzrichim kedei la-akor avodah zorah. At that point in time, the korbonos had a necessity in order to be able to uproot the avodah zorah, as the Rambam says. V'avodah zorah holech es ne'akeres. But what happens in the end of the day? Avodah zorah ends and ceases. But nevertheless, the reason, the ultimate reason, doesn't change. So he points out that the essence of what it is still remains. So what the Rambam was trying to do is he's trying to explain an element of it. Once that element falls away, the essence doesn't fall away. This is a very important point, because what we asked at the beginning, one of the problems with the Rambam is it seems time-bound. And the answer that Rav Kook is saying, of course not. And certainly with the synthesis of the Mishnah Chachma, what we've seen is that the Rambam is talking on two levels. It may be that the level of the Avodah Zarah, which is related to the Bama, falls away, but certainly the essence doesn't disappear as well. This is the way the Rav Kook looks at it. Very, very fascinating. We're not going to look at this on Abar Benel, who has a very fascinating idea over here as well. But not for now, just in terms of time considerations. What I'd like to do is very briefly, just a very brief survey of now other one or two other positive reasonings, and then we're going to take it from here next week. The first of such reasonings is the Ramban himself. So the Ramban says, remember, the Ramban spent a lot of time disagreeing with the Rambam. So what does he actually say? Meaning, what is his purpose over here? He says the following in source 10, V'yosa ro'u lishmoa atam shomrim bohem, ki ba'avur ha-shemase b'nei odom nigmarim b'machshova uv'dibur uv'maaseh. We come to conclusions through three levels. Rather, that we are divided, our expression is divided into thought, speech and action. Tzivo Hashem ki kasher yechto yavi korban. Therefore, a person needs to bring a sacrifice. Yismach yadav olav keneged amase, v'yisvade befiv keneged adibur, v'yisrof ba'esh haker v'akaloyos, shem kli hamachshov v'ataiva. What do? You have all three levels over here of sacrifice. Sacrifice in terms of your action. You do smicha, you put, you rest your arms, your hands on the top of this animal. You have to actually be there. It's machlokes whether you can do it even via shliach. And you commit, or you admit through your mouth, and then you watch the innards being burnt up, which is representative of your thought process, which is being burnt up. And the limbs are related to the to your body limbs, which you were doing the actions. A person should be watching this and thinking, I sinned with all these faculties, with all these different parts, whether it be my thought, my speech, and my action. This is what I did. And if it weren't for the fact that Hashem would accept a representative in its place, you should be the person. That should be the end of you. Lightning should strike Chas v'Shalom, and that's the end. So what do you do? Hashem says, I'll give you a chesed. I'll let you take this offering. Nefesh tachas nefesh. And so the Raman says that when a person watches this, it's going to be a transformative process. And by the way, you know, for most first-timers who have ever entered the slaughterhouse, you know, it's very, very, I mean, unless you're a hardened, there are people who aren't really affected by this, but on the whole, it's very hard to eat meat directly after that. But it's when you witness life disappearing, even animal life, when you're witnessing life being killed in front of you, it's a shaking process. We were able to get used to this, unfortunately, depending on profession. But at the same time, there's something very moving about this. Says the Ramban, you're witnessing this. This is the tshuva process is not something simply where you now are experiencing this cerebrally, the way the Sefer HaChinuch says it in the next source. Is it's not like you're turning to the wall and in a corner where nobody else is watching you saying, God, I'm really sorry that I did that. That's not how it's working. It's an experience. And that experience now has an effect on you. I think this is very fascinating. I had a friend who's a psychology major who spent a bit of time trying to work out an understanding for the Sefer HaChinuch. The Sefer HaChinuch has a very famous rule, and that is that that our actions have a very forceful impact on the way we think. But that's what the Sefer HaChinuch says, and he says it in many places. The first place he actually says it is by Korban Pesach. Why there's so many halachas by Korban Pesach in the first place? Because it's supposed to inculcate a certain value into us. And the more we do it, the more we become like what we do. That's what he says. Behavioral psychology caught up with us a few centuries later. And what my friend wrote an essay, Rabbi Yoni Gold, wrote an essay as trying to understand the Sefer HaChinuch in terms of psychology today. Meaning, what has psychology caught up to in terms of trying to understand how this process works? And one of the suggestions which was suggested is what's called embodied cognition. Embodied cognition is that when a person experiences something, they don't experience it simply on an intellectual plane, that you don't remember simply just a line of information. You remember an experience. You remember everything that was around that experience. So therefore, that's why when people remember things and they remember experiences, the smell, the sounds, the atmosphere are also part or embedded into that very memory. It's not simply just information. This is an essay over here in just below this by Margaret Wilson about six views of embodied cognition. For example, in her point four, she says, the environment is part of the cognitive system. The information flow between mind and the world is so dense and continuous that for scientists studying the nature of cognitive activity, the mind alone is not a meaningful unit of analysis. It's not enough just to look at the brain and say, okay, what's going information-wise? So therefore, this what the Ramban perhaps is saying over here is that when you're experiencing this tshuva process over here, the Torah is not just advocating towards the fact that you can now intellectually say, you know, well, I made a boo-boo and I'm going to sort it out now. The whole of you is experiencing it. Every level of expression, your thought, your speech, and your action are now being sacrificed right in front of you. This is going to be a changing experience of the individual over here. And as you can see over here, according to the Ramban, this is a far cry from what the Ramban was saying. This is intrinsic. This is something that's actually working on you as an individual, according to the Ramban over here, which makes a tremendous difference. There's not sufficient time to spend, and I would prefer to give it a little more time. So what we're going to do is I'm going to shift this over to next week. I'm going to shift this over to next week as we talk about the future, the Karbanos in the future, trying to understand that. But what I will leave you with is just the following question, and that is that part of the Karbanos which we haven't attacked over here is the understanding that a lot of the karbonos, barring the oila, a lot of the karbonos, in fact, are a shared process. That means to say that you're going to have the kohanim eating of many of them, and you have, in a lot of cases, also the baalim, the owners having partaking a part of it, and the mizbeach partaking a part of it. The shlomim is the most exemplary of this division. The shlomim is the shalom between three parties, gods, the kohanim, and the owners. And we need to understand that element, which we haven't really addressed at this point in time, is what is the combined or the united process over here of karbanos. And what we're going to do tomorrow is to try to, or next week, is to try to understand the karbanos, therefore, lasted lavai. This relates to the function of karbanos on a deeper level as well. So we're going to stop here and looking forward to part two. Rabbi Chanan ben Akash Amar Atzal Kodesh Baruch Hu, Lezakois, Es Yisrael, Levicha, Chir Bolem, Torah, Mitzvah, Shinemar, Nachav, Etzman, Tzikha, Yagdil, Torah, Ve'adil. Thank you.